Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores Ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe on June 21st for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with bowl or food purchase. Order an app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you concerned about age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? If you're over 50, then you should be. AMD impacts as many as 1 in 10 Americans over 50. Now, protecting your eyes is easier thanks to New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements. New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements not only protect your eyes, but help improve night vision, as well as helping to relieve eye fatigue caused by digital devices. Enjoy healthy vision with New Nordic's Blueberry Eye Supplements. Available now at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. By an 8-1 decision, the Supreme Court upheld a ban, a federal ban, on guns for people who are under domestic violence restraining orders. This man from Maryland was outside the court when it was announced.
I was pleasantly surprised. Given the way the court's been going, I assume they were going to say, sure, you know, insane people can have guns. But luckily, you know, some reason prevailed.
Justice Clarence Thomas was the only dissenter. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says a strike on a camp near Rafah for displaced Palestinians killed at least 25. After Russia and North Korea reached a military cooperation pact, South Korea says it may supply weapons to Ukraine. Teamsters President Sean O'Brien's accepted former President Trump's invitation to speak at next month's Republican National Convention. There could be new record highs from the Midwest to New England now that a heat wave has been extended through the weekend. This is ABC News. The St. Louis Cardinals and San Francisco Giants traveled to Birmingham, Alabama for an emotional tribute to the Negro Leagues, where Willie Mays got a start.
Yes, it is a celebration.
A day after Juneteenth, Major League Baseball paid tribute to the game's earliest black heroes Thursday night in Birmingham at the country's oldest professional ballpark, Rickwood Field. Much of the night was focused on the greatest Giant ever, Willie Mays, who passed away this week at 93.
If there's any way on earth my father could come down here, he would.
Earlier this week, we learned that the day before he died, Mays had actually provided a message he wanted read to the city to express his gratitude for both his home state and the recent ruling that Negro League statistics be included in official MLB records.
ABC's Danny New. The European Union's agreed to start membership negotiations with Ukraine and Moldova. The talks will begin on June 25th. In Luxembourg. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Wine, spirits, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes. With thousands of bottles that you get to explore, Total Wine has everything you need and more. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Two teens were seriously injured following a shooting involving police on a Milwaukee freeway. Thursday afternoon, a vehicle connected to two armed carjackings drove into a construction zone on I-43. Police ordered the car to stop when the driver went into reverse twice, first crashing into a squad car and then heading toward an officer. Another officer then opened fire on the vehicle. A pregnant 18-year-old woman and 17-year-old male inside were struck and taken to the hospital. Police say the wounded woman's baby didn't survive. Four other teens in the car were arrested and hospitalized for minor injuries. West Dallas Police Department will investigate the incident. A Beloit police officer won't face charges following a deadly April incident. When police arrived at a Beloit home, a man identified as Michael Ward allegedly threatened to kill someone who called police on him. When Ward allegedly swung two swords near a woman and an officer trying to protect her, Officer Nicholas Rodenbeck fired six shots at Ward, who was taken to a hospital where he later died. The Rock County District Attorney said Thursday Rodenbeck fired his weapon to protect the life of the person who called police, since they were in imminent danger from Ward's behavior. Remembering the late president of Marquette University. A funeral mass for Michael Lovell was held at the Church of the Jesu on the Marquette campus on Thursday. Lovell's widow, Amy Lovell.
I believe, having gained another saint on June 9th in Rome, I know that Mike will work to intercede for those he leaves behind.
Lovell died during a pilgrimage to Rome at the age of 57 after a three-year battle with cancer. In 2014, he became the first layperson to become Marquette president after serving as the chancellor of UW-Milwaukee. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
The flood watch continues in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Showers and thunderstorms at times throughout the afternoon. 90% chance. Locally heavy rain possible. Highs mid-70s. East winds at around 5. Tonight, 90% chance of showers and storms again. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rain. Lows upper 60s. This reminder, the Buffalo County Dairy Breakfast has been moved to Sunday morning from 7 till 11 at Marbeck Dairy, south of Mondovi. Again, Buffalo County Dairy Breakfast has been moved to Sunday from 7 till 11.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for being with us here on today's program. Great to have you along for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk markets in segment two with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. We'll get some thoughts from her and some perspective on what these markets have been up to and where we're headed as we get towards the end of the month. USDA reports on the 28th. Coming up in segment three, we're going to have a ag economy conversation and much more with Kurt Covington from Ag America. He will be joining us here on the program. And then coming up in segment four, an interesting news item came across my desk here this past week, focusing on the National Interest Electric Transmission Corridor, known as NETSES. And we're going to learn more about this situation that could have a significant impact on farmers and ranchers. We're going to talk with the president of the Missouri Farm Bureau, Garrett Hawkins, in segment four here today. Let's kick things off, though, on the program. We are counting down the days to not only the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, at the end of August, but Husker Harvest Days coming up as well in Nebraska. We're going to talk about both shows and get a preview and some updates on where things are at in the process here, so to speak, of getting ready for both shows. Joining us now is Matt Youngman, Farm Progress National Show Manager. Matt, great to talk with you again. How are you?
Good to be with you, Jesse.
Well, let's start with the Farm Progress Show. That's first on the docket. Again, coming up here at the end of August in Boone, Iowa. And I know we've talked here recently, a couple months ago, preparations well underway. The crop is in the ground for the demonstration plots, et cetera, et cetera. Get us up to speed on the latest as we prepare for the Farm Progress Show.
Yeah, it's starting to get exciting. We're starting to get the content kind of pinned down. We're gonna be publishing the program here early July, so we've kind of got to have all of our details nailed down then so it can go off to print. But as you mentioned, the field demonstration crop is in the ground. It got in the ground It was all in the ground by April 12th, and it's obviously been getting plenty of heat, so it's cranking right along. And so projecting that we're going to have great demonstrations, plenty of new products that folks are going to get to see operate in person for the first time. You know, the big 800-plus horsepower tractor from John Deere, and Case IH just announced their 260 series combine, and all of those things are going to be running and operating, and even a few ride and drive opportunities with some of those pieces for the visitors at the show.
I know, too, we touched on this, but I want to remind folks, if they've been to the site in Boone before, there's been some updates, there's been some traffic flow configuration changes and things like that. So it sounds like it's going to be an even better experience in Boone this year.
It is. You know, the great work done by the Department of Transportation there is going to make our traffic flow even better. You know, right in the past, everything kind of ran on Highway 30, regardless of how you were going to get to the show, you were going to be on Highway 30. Well, now that we have an overpass to get over the rail line that's immediately north of us, we can safely bring traffic in from the north. So all of the crowd coming in from Minnesota and up north there by you guys, you know, can come down I-35, slide over on Highway 20 and straight down Highway 17 and never have to get to Ames, never have to get on Highway 30 at all, which is just generally going to kind of loosen up and free up the traffic flow coming into the event. So we're really excited to add that in for this year. It's going to make it worked great in 2022 without it, but this is just going to make it even better going forward.
As we're getting ready, and you mentioned that the program is going to be out soon, things like that. What are a couple of the big things you're really excited about for this year's show, Matt? Not to spoil too much, I'm sure there's certain details you can't tell us, but what's one or two things you're really excited about seeing this year?
So a couple things that I'm kind of noticing here as the show is developing is that this is, you know, Case IH wants it to be the year of the combine, but I think it's going to be the year of the sprayer drone and the UTV. We have sprayer drone companies just kind of coming out of the woodwork, and so it's going to be a great shopping opportunity if you've been looking at that to talk to a whole lot of those companies and watch a lot of them actually operate and run and watch their machines do their work. And then it also seems like the year of the side-by-side. We have ride and drives from at least John Deere, Kawasaki, and Polaris, and we're in conversations with other ones to design ride and drives around that. So if you might be in the business in the market for one of those soon, it'd be a great shopping opportunity to operate those and kind of compare them head to head. So, you know, and then obviously we have lots of things. I mean, there's product introductions coming. We've got a partnership for women in ag with Case IH. There's a new building from EPS. There's just lots and lots of things, and I can't list them all, but whatever you might need for your operation, Farm Progress Show or Husker Harvest Days are a great solution for that.
FarmProgressShow.com for more details on the show coming up in Boone, Iowa, August 27th through the 29th. We're talking with Matt Youngman, National Events Manager, Show Manager for Farm Progress. And you mentioned Husker Harvest Days. I know, too, I believe I just saw the news that you guys have a ticket offer of sorts out for Husker Harvest Days coming up this September in Grand Island, Nebraska. What's that all about, Matt?
Yeah, we are doing a test and trying something completely new at Husker Harvest Days. And what it is an offer for complimentary admission all 3 days to the show for the visitors. We would just ask them to register. And so we're kind of trying to move towards a B2B trade show type of registration system so that we're able to identify, you know, really identify who's there and do a better job of providing a show for the audience by figuring out who is there and also being able to tell our exhibitor base who's there. So, yeah, you know, instead of spending $25 for a ticket at the gate, all you have to do is you can do it through HuskerHarvestDays.com. You'll be able to do it walking up to the gate on your phone. You just answer a few questions, and then when you get to the gate, you will display a barcode, and it'll print out a badge and a lanyard, and then you're in the show all 3 days. So it's certainly something new and big and different. We're really looking forward to what this can do. You know, we'll work on the infrastructure and the background to make sure that it flows well, and it actually will speed everybody's entrance into the show. It should be pretty frictionless and seamless for folks to walk up and just enter the show and obviously do it without any charge.
Well, really exciting things there. Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th in Grand Island, Nebraska. A couple weeks after the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa this year. And again, as Matt mentioned, HuskerHarvestDays.com for more information or FarmProgressShow.com for more information. I know, Matt, we're going to be talking to you more as we get closer to both shows. We're up against the clock, though, in this segment. Appreciate you joining us again here on AOA today, Matt, and we will let you go. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot, Jesse. Great to be with you.
Matt Youngman, National Events Manager for Farm Progress. And again, Farm Progress Show, August 27th through 29th in Boone, Iowa. Details, farmprogressshow.com. And then Husker Harvest Days, get those complimentary tickets that Matt was talking about. Coming up September 10th through the 12th in Grand Island, Nebraska, HuskerHarvestDays.com. All right, on the way next, we'll talk markets and we'll get a look at where things stand here in the grain and livestock trade. More Naomi Bloom with Total Farm Marketing. She'll join us next on AOA Agriculture of America. Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a 1-ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8-ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we continue here on today's program, let's take a look at what is happening in the markets as we are getting ever closer to the end of the month. USDA reports that are known for their surprises and volatility. We're also dealing with mainly a weather market right now, it feels like, here in this grain trade especially. Joining us now to give us some thoughts and provide market analysis, Naomi Bloom with Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, as I mentioned there and alluded to, it really feels like a weather market. I know especially a lot of folks in the northwestern Corn Belt, upper Midwest, are dealing with a lot of rain. I don't know how much that's extended over to you there in Wisconsin, but I got a feeling a lot of folks might be busting out the John Boat or the pontoon to go do some crop scouting, unfortunately. It's been a very tough one for a lot of folks in basically the northern tier of the Corn Belt, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of wet weather and more coming. Some flash flood advisories here where I live on the eastern side of the state of Wisconsin for this weekend. We're just inundated with rain, and I was talking with clients in Minnesota this morning, and they're just kind of almost feeling the hurt. The unfortunate thing is that the market traders just have that perception that rain makes grain, but there is a point where too much rain is not helpful. And the market just hasn't picked up on that yet. And, you know, as farmers, you all know that the soybeans don't like to have what, you know, they call wet feet. And so things, it's not necessarily going to be perfect here. But unfortunately, just again, dealing with that market perception and trader perception that rain makes grain. So weather market indeed. We're watching for July forecasts. There's some that are forecasts that are now going to suggest we're going to turn to hot and dry. So when you have a wet start and then turning to hot and dry, that's not necessarily ideal either. So plenty of volatility to come, to your point about weather markets and that USDA report next Friday.
Well, and to your point, I think about when the pits were open in Chicago, if it rained in Chicago, that was a big driver of these markets.
Right.
Well, now with the funds and the AI trading and this and that, you know, they trade the weather models, to your point. So it adds kind of the same volatility, just in a different way. I know that these markets, you know, especially wheat has gotten very oversold, quarter beans kind of just trudging along here. I mean, you look across this grain trade, is there any sort of bullish hope at all right now, Naomi?
Short answer is not really. It's going to have to come from Mother Nature, or we're going to have to see an uptick in demand. The wheat market is very much getting oversold, and it's at the point where it's becoming cheap and on sale. And seasonally, when you're looking at Chicago wheat futures and the December contract, a lot of times the first 2 weeks of July there's a recovery bounce, but that's an opportunity to be making more sales. And then with the corn and soybean market weighing on us right now is just this perception of still growing carryout. So if we can get some sort of a bullish surprise next Friday, either from acres or from the quarterly stocks or something from the weather, that would be enough to get the market to have the recovery bounce. And remember, the funds are in corn. They're back short over 200,000 contracts again. So if something weather-wise does come up, they're going to need to scramble and get out of those short positions. But again, right now the overall perception is leaning a little bit more negative.
It's looked like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, even though futures have kind of been backsliding here, basis has improved some, spreads have improved a little bit. Maybe that cash market is looking to get some grain out of storage here potentially.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So one thing to build on that is that, yes, basis is a little bit more attractive now in some locations because they do need farmers to open up those bin doors and get the last of it sold. But I think that many farmers have some grain yet to price. So once that grain starts coming to town, there is the risk that the basis could weaken. So maybe start thinking about doing a basis contract if you're hopeful that you could see a little bit of a recovery bounce here in July on a weather market, or just be looking to price it and be done with it. And if there's a weather market down the road later, you can look at a call option for re-ownership. So just a couple things to keep in mind.
We're talking with Naomi Bloom, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, here today on AOA. Naomi, as well, too, I was going to ask, July options expiration here, is that playing a role a little bit as well?
Yeah, it can. So what that means is that when options expire on option expiration day, a lot of times the futures prices will gravitate towards where there is the most open interest at various levels of strike prices. So we have been a little bit quiet here to start the day for the July corn futures and July soybean futures. I'm curious to see if anything will transpire towards the end of the day in terms of gravitating towards more open interest levels. So that is something to be mindful of. But again, I think when we come back on Sunday night, trade is going to be looking at the weather forecast, and then we're going to start to gear up with position squaring into Friday's report.
Let's talk as well, look at the livestock trade. Let's jump over there. Cattle, hogs, cattle first. Probably the market that's been the most friendly to producers, I would say, here in the last few weeks. Weekly export sales were up about 24%, it looks like, but down from the prior four-week average. So maybe a little support there. But, you know, you look at cash cattle trade and what's happening in the sale barn versus futures, still been a little disconnect there. But, I mean, overall, this cattle market's looked pretty friendly. I know, too, we got a cattle on feed report Friday afternoon that traders are probably going to position ahead of a little bit, right?
Right. Everything that you said is true. So our export sales are plugging along, so that's encouraging news. Domestic demand seems to be pretty just strong enough, you know, so there's that demand aspect there. What we are seeing, though, especially with the live cattle market and the feeder cattle market, we're continuing to trade in a large pennant flag formation on charts. So if we can get some friendly news, so today's report is going to have to be over-the-top bullish of unexpected friendly news to get the market to break out to the upside. Or if we don't get any friendly news, we're at risk of prices just sliding back lower to the bottom end of the chart support levels. I don't know that at this time there's a fundamental reason for a significant breakout higher or lower. We probably just continue to chug along in a sideways trade pattern. But this afternoon's report is important. So we're looking at the average estimate for the on-feed number for this afternoon's report coming in at 98.9% of a year ago. It's got a pretty tight range of estimates, 98.3 to 99.4. The placement number for today is supposed to come in, the average number, at 98.3, but the range is wide, 95 to 102.4%. And then the marketing numbers coming in at 100.3%. So that placement number with that really, really wide range just shows uncertainty for, you know, what's out there, what's going to be coming in the pipeline here sooner than later. But when I talk to clients, especially in Missouri with that Joplin stockyard, demand is good, prices are strong. So it's an interesting mix of, to your earlier point, you know, there's a disconnect between what the cash markets are doing and what the futures prices are doing. So today's report will be the next catalyst, and we'll go back to some, I think, range trade unless we can get some really friendly news out of this report this afternoon.
Well, hogs have been, I don't know if there's much good to say about the hog market. And also, dairy has been interesting. So I'll let you take your pick here for the last 60 seconds. Hogs, dairy, any notes for us there, Naomi?
Well, a couple of things just to be aware of on both. Thursday afternoon of next week is a hogs and pigs report. So the market may be gearing up towards that. But, yeah, we're needing some fresh, friendly news for that hog market. And then also this afternoon is a milk production report. So the milk market, I think, is going to be waiting for that report before taking its cue. But in general, the cheese demand has been pretty darn fantastic. So that is the bright note for the dairy industry. And, of course, here where I live in Wisconsin, it's very important and good news there. So we'll see what this afternoon's milk production report says, and then next week, Thursday's hogs and pigs. That'll be the next piece of market news for price direction.
A lot of things to take into account, and I think when it comes down to it, you got to stay vigilant, stay on your toes with your marketing plan, that is for sure. Great stuff as always. Folks I know can reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing easily online, totalfarmmarketing.com, a great place to start. With that, Naomi Bloom. Naomi, always appreciate the time. Thanks for being with us on AOA today.
Thank you.
Naomi Bloom there from Total Farm Marketing joining us here on the program today. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about a new report, The State of American Agriculture, a deep dive analysis of the 2022 Census of Agriculture. Kurt Covington, Senior Director of Institution Credit at Ag America, joins us next on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk up 10 to 1987, August up 3 to 2062, September up 4 to 2050, October milk up 6 at 2010. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are higher in the nearby, lower in deferreds. Feeder cattle all moving mostly lower ahead of the cattle on feed report. Live cattle markets are higher as cash markets are starting to develop, and that could even move them sharply higher in the afternoon trade. Hog markets mostly lower today in the deferred contracts, higher in the nearbys due to a positive export inspections report. June live cattle up 67 cents to 187.75. August feeder cattle down 47 cents to 259.35. July hogs up 65 cents to 91.80. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets moving up mostly lower. Some expectations of warmer weather in the east with some timely rains helping to provide some pressure in the corn markets. Strength in the meal markets and short covering helping the soybean markets. Meanwhile, wheat markets mostly lower on continued harvest pressure. July corn down 2.5 to 437 and a quarter. New crop down 1.5 to 455 and a quarter. July beans up 8.5 to 1163 and three quarters. New crop up 6 to 1122 and three quarters. Chicago wheat July down 12 and three quarters to 560. I'm Brian Winnekins.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, anytime I could sit down and have a conversation with our next guest, I always take the opportunity. I enjoy talking with him about what's going on in the ag economy and much more. Let's get to that conversation right now. Joining us here on AOA, he is Senior Director of Institution Credit at Ag America. Kurt Covington is with us here on the show. Kurt, how are you? It's great to talk with you again.
Pretty good, Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for being on the show with us here today. Appreciate it very much. I know we're talking about a new report, the State of American Agriculture, out from Ag America. It's a deep dive sort of analysis of the 2022 Census of Agriculture. Kurt, give us just kind of the overarching view of what this report is and what you guys found with this report.
Yeah, so let me start by saying I'm sitting on the side of a dirt road in Central California, and things are pretty bleak out in this part of the world. You might find it hard to believe that you make more money farming cotton and cannery tomatoes in this part of the world than almonds and pistachios. It's just how difficult the market is out here. So, and then you couple that with the probability of drought, and 2024 and 2025 are going to be very interesting years. So what we found is, you know, ultimately the state of agriculture is fairly stable. I will say that, you know, there continues to be a decline in the quality of life in rural America. And in addition, I would say that most of that, I think, is derived from the continued consolidation of family farms. And ultimately, I think much more difficult times coming ahead for all sectors of agriculture. And this is the first time I probably have said this to you. All sectors of agriculture seem to be facing their own challenges, with few exceptions. 2024, 2025, in my view, are going to be difficult years in rural America, but we'll stand strong.
Well, fascinating. Let's dive into that a little bit. And to your point, I think farm consolidation is a very big issue here for the ag industry. And, you know, that's nothing new, right, Kurt? I mean, we've been seeing this happening for quite some time, but maybe from what I'm hearing from you, it's kind of hitting that pivotal, transformative type of breaking point, maybe, so to speak, here for American agriculture. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say that there's a couple factors driving that, right? It's never, you know, at least in the current market conditions, it's not necessarily about the revenue or yields. This is all about input costs and interest rates. If you go across the board and look at the decline in market prices for many commodities, and this would also just include dairies and livestock in the same. I mean, ultimately, the challenge is, while market prices have declined, input costs have remained stubbornly high. And while fertilizer costs, chemical costs have come down in certain parts of the country, labor costs have actually gone up. On top of that, all of us were hoping for, and I still say I'm still hoping for, a decline in interest rates. I have no indication of what the Fed might do this summer. Everyone's hoping for at some point before year end, a one, perhaps two tick decline in interest rates, which would be very helpful to the farmer. But ultimately, the challenge is, you know, farmers have to borrow money to farm. And when you're being, you know, the market bears a rate of, you know, 7, 8, 9% on operating loans, plus you couple that with stubbornly high input costs, it's difficult to show a positive bottom line. As a result of that, I think you're seeing some operations just calling it a day, selling out, and further consolidation in the market, and that is across the board.
Well, and I wonder too, and I know this is some of the notes from the Census of Ag that you guys looked at with this report, and folks can find the report at agamerica.com. The total number of U.S. farms, for instance, below 2 million for the first time ever. And then, too, the average age of the U.S. farmer. You talk about the high interest rate environment and more, Kurt. You know, I wonder if it's a case, too, of where maybe some older farmers have just said enough is enough, and rather than, you know, pass it down to a younger generation maybe or things like that, they just say sell it and move on, and then maybe that could explain some of farmland getting into the hands of big corporations and housing developments and things like that. I don't know. I'm kind of hypothesizing here a little bit, but what do you think about that?
It's a really interesting point, right? So that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. You know, we as bankers often love to just hang our hat on someone's financial condition, their ability to market a crop. One of the things we forget about is that the average age, and it depends on the industry and part of the country, but the average age, you know, of the farmer today is in the 60s. And, you know, probably less, generally speaking, less than a third of those have even come up with a succession plan or state planning for that matter. And I think ultimately, that's always been the challenge. We've been working on this problem as, you know, in the agricultural and agriculture and ag finance space, this issue about succession management. It's gotten some traction, but I think ultimately that in the next 5 years, the entire face of agriculture in terms of who's running it and who owns it is going to change dramatically. And I'm not sure we as bankers are necessarily prepared for that, because let's just face it. You know, the bigger these operations get, Jesse, it's not about reading their financials. You know, it's not about hearing their marketing plan. It's more about understanding the character of that borrower and have they done all the right things for short and long-term planning to ensure the success and the succession of that business. And I just don't think, and I lay this both on the face of the farmer, but I also lay it in front of the ag lenders. We don't put enough emphasis on what are you going to do in the event that something happens to the current ownership team, which is mom and dad.
We're talking with Kurt Covington from Ag America here about the state of American agriculture, and they have a new report on that online at agamerica.com. To that point, Kurt, I'm going to throw this out at you. I've had some conversations with some farmers and ranchers here in recent weeks, and there's been kind of that reflected worry from some of those conversations about where things are currently and where they're headed. Do you think there is more worry out there in rural America right now, mid-2024, than some folks maybe are letting on to other folks potentially?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, right? I've been doing this 45 years. You can kind of see the ripple effect of what's going on out there right now. My personal opinion is, it always takes time for issues and problems to develop. But I think personally feel like, rural America, and it really doesn't make any difference what part of the United States you're talking about, is potentially in for a wave of issues. Obviously, one being profitability and the impact on working capital, right? Cash is king. Having working capital is your first defense against commodity price volatility. You don't have working capital, you're going to suffer some issues if prices, and they will, become more volatile. The feeling on the farm for many farmers is, well, I've got land, I've got plenty of equity, I can fix the problem. Well, the problem doesn't get fixed that quickly, and you're going to find there are a number of lenders out there that are reticent to just refinance your real estate to give you more liquidity. You couple that with the younger generation who may not have been exposed to the financing of the business or how the crop is being marketed, or a combination of both of those things, and you're setting yourself up for some real problems in the future, in my personal opinion. I'm not saying it can't be fixed, But this isn't something that gets fixed overnight. And as I've talked to you about this, and we as bankers talk about this, we don't spend enough time emphasizing the need to bring the next and younger generation into the fold to understand the financing, to understand the business of the business, and, you know, getting the exposure to the bank, having a plan that allows for, if mom and dad so choose, to transition this business to the next generation. Because as a lender, it never becomes a problem or an issue until it actually becomes an issue.
That is a very great point. And I think it's a good point for us to wrap up our conversation on. I just think it needs to be a case of more education and working together to your point earlier, to stand strong as we weather this downturn and more in the ag economy, et cetera, et cetera. Again, folks can find that to full report, agamerica.com. Kurt, it's always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for the perspective and the insight. And we'll have to pick this conversation up again in the future. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Anytime, Jesse. Thank you.
Kurt Covington, Senior Director of Institution Credit at Ag America. And some very interesting points, some very good points I think Kurt made there, and maybe some things that some folks don't want to hear, but it's a lot of things to watch for right now in terms of the state of American agriculture, that is for sure. All right, coming up next here before we wrap up AOA, we're going to learn more. Interesting story came across my desk about the National Interest Electric Transmission Corridor, known as NETCES. We're going to talk about the impact on farming and ranching with Missouri Farm Bureau President Gerald Hawkins. He joins us next on AOA.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durand. Bauer Built, built on service.
Join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy during June Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheese can be found in 99% of grocery stores across the country? Just look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge at your local grocery store to support Wisconsin family farms. Taste the finest Wisconsin dairy products across the state or visit a dairy breakfast on the farm to learn more about Wisconsin dairy.
This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer seed dealer serving Western Wisconsin.
Which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? With Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bauer Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
The benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Alyssa Geske, research lead at the CHS Crop Science Research and Development Center, will discuss research and product development efforts at the new center. Alyssa, what type of research will be conducted at the new CHS Crop Science R&D Center?
The research at the greenhouse is focused on expediting the development and testing of our new products for our agronomy portfolio. So this includes everything from our adjuvants to our biostimulants, our fertilizer enhancers, foliar fertilizers, starter fertilizers, nitrogen stabilizers, plant growth regulators, you name it. In addition to that, we will also be evaluating our seed treatment and inoculant blends that we offer through our STI customized service.
How will what you learn here streamline CHS product development?
we're going to be able to grow plants for 365 days a year. And that's an extremely powerful tool for product development. So before this R&D center, we relied solely on our field research, and that is limited hugely by the growing season and then also impacted by the environment. So ultimately, the end result is we get new products to our customers in less time.
Well, what makes this facility unique?
The new facility was built with sustainability top in mind and has many unique features. So the greenhouse itself is split into six sections, and each of those is controlled separately. So we can have six very different climates if we wanted to, which gives us the flexibility to evaluate products under various conditions.
How will indoor research at the center complement field trials?
Both greenhouse and field trials have their limitations, but they also have their strengths. And I think by combining them together, we can really optimize the product development process for CHS.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA today. Well, this story came across my desk here this past week, and it was one that I hadn't heard of. I wasn't aware of this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard of this. The National Interest Electric Transmission Corridor, otherwise known as NETC. Well, last month, the U.S. Department of Energy released phase two of this NETC proposal, and the plan would impact agricultural land and rural communities in more than a dozen U.S. states, including Missouri. Joining us now to talk about this and have a conversation about what impact this could have on farmers and ranchers, he is the president of the Missouri Farm Bureau. Garrett Hawkins is with us here on AOA today. Garrett, thanks for the time and for joining us today. Hope you're doing well.
Well, same to you, Jesse. It's a real treat to be on your show this morning to talk about what I believe is a huge issue for private property rights for many of our states.
And I couldn't agree more. I saw this a few days ago, and I know there's a comment period deadline that's coming up here on Monday the 24th and more. So I wanted to make sure we got you on the show to talk about this. Now, in terms of these NETCs, I know it includes multiple projects, one of which is the Grain Belt Express that impacts your state, Missouri. Give us kind of the wide overview of this and why this is all a cause for concern.
Well, let's start at the 30,000 foot level, and let's just talk about the state of energy policy in the country today. I think all of us can see that we have an administration that is making a fundamental shift when it comes to power generation and transmission in this country. So we are seeing reliable base load generation come offline, think natural gas, coal, et cetera, coming offline faster than we are putting solar and wind or intermittent sources on, which is causing problems then with the grid. So you hear more in the news today about potential brownouts, blackouts. Well, we've got this imbalance, if you will, that the administration is trying to now correct by pushing for mega transmission projects all across the country. And so you take Grain Belt Express that started in Missouri 10 years ago and has been extremely controversial because it's a private for-profit entity that received the power of eminent domain to condemn farmland to develop this merchant transmission line. And now you see Grain Belt as one of the 10 proposed NETCs across the country, which unlocks more federal financing tools for this specific project. But, you know, I think across the board, it raises the question when you have the Department of Energy that essentially wants to usurp state regulatory authorities who have a strong voice and permitting authority when it comes to siting of these projects. You see and now an attempt from Washington, D.C. to be able to try to call those shots. So, you know, I describe it to folks as the Department of Energy essentially wants to lock down or lock out state regulatory officials. They want to unlock federal financing tools for these mega projects and essentially kick open the door for more folks to trample on private property rights.
Well, and you mentioned the Grain Belt Express, and we talk about that. It's not just that project as well. I mean, numerous states, Northern Plains as well, through the Dakotas, other states in the Southern Plains, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, New Mexico, Oregon, Nevada, Virginia. I mean, the list goes on and on. Multiple states here with different projects. And I think about this, you bring up eminent domain, such a great point there. That's a huge conversation in agriculture for various projects right now. So, I mean, thinking about this and thinking about what these NETC corridors could do, I mean, some of these sections stretch miles upon miles wide. And I guess, Garrett, it feels like it just creates a lot of uncertainty for farmers and ranchers, doesn't it?
You nailed it. Uncertainty would be one of the words that comes to mind, because you take the Grain Belt Express coming across southwest Kansas and dumping power at the Indiana line. That corridor is proposed to be 5 miles wide. And that begs the question, is the plan to potentially designate or try to pave the way for another mega transmission line in that corridor? I can say it probably almost guarantees more pressure for solar to go into place because of easy access to a major transmission line. You know, you look at the Texas Panhandle, for instance, when you look at the map and read the proposal, you're talking about a swath of land that's 100 miles wide for that corridor. And if I was a landowner in that area, I would certainly have a lot of questions. And that's why we are calling on, I actually sent a letter to the Secretary of Energy last week and joined other state presidents as well in asking for hearings to be held across the country. You're talking about projects that will impact not just today's farmers, but farmers for generations to come. And I believe folks in Washington, D.C. have an obligation to come to the heartland and other areas of the country and listen to and hear from the people whose lives are going to be forever impacted.
I could agree more, and hopefully we can get some hearings on this and maybe slow this process down a little bit. I know that there's a proposed phase two of this here that we're talking about and alluding to, of this National Interest Electric Transmission Corridor. Comments on this proposal accepted through Monday, June 24th, that folks could send comments via email, nietc@hq.doe.gov, or you can go to energy.gov for more. Garrett, real quick before we run out of time, again, if you want to reiterate to folks how important this issue is and just remind them why they need to make their voice heard.
Well, yeah, you summed it up well. And I would say this, you know, we're fighting for private property rights, not just for the farmers of today, but for our kids and grandkids who we hope to bring home to the farm and to our rural communities. And you know, here's how I look at it. For decades, farmers, ranchers, and landowners have had the grid that we enjoy today has been built on our backs, okay? Because we know the importance of energy resiliency and energy security in this country. But the path we're headed down is one that truly, yet again, farmers, ranchers, and landowners are going to bear the brunt, and all of us as ratepayers are going to be paying more for an energy policy that, you know, I believe is out of balance. My grandma always said, don't put all your eggs in one basket, and I truly believe that's the path we're headed down.
Well, with that, Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins. Garrett, thanks for being with us on AOA today and talking about this issue. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right, we are out of time on AOA today. Thanks for joining us on the program. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to...
Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe on June 21st for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with bowl or food purchase. Order an app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic.